Trendstorm.
Welcome back to Trendstorm. Now let's take a look at the prospect for peacekeepers in Donbas. Russia will put forth the UNSC resolution recommending that foreign forces provide protection for the OSCE Special Monitoring Mission in Donbas, essentially heralding the possible future introduction of peacekeepers into this war zone and earning significant praise from Germany. The idea was first announced by President Putin at the BRICS summit in Xiamen, and has since then caught a lot of traction as the international community realized that Russia is obviously very serious about this initiative if its president would speak about it at such a distinguished forum. German Chancellor Merkel and Foreign Minister Sigmar Gabriel have both signaled their favor for this move, suggesting that if the EU's strongest and most important country is on board with this plan, then it could possibly lead to a domino effect across most of the bloc. This is especially significant because Foreign Minister Gabriel said that the full and proper implementation of peacekeeping forces in Donbas could lead to a lasting ceasefire, which in turn might give way to a political solution that might then result in the lifting of the EU's anti-Russian sanctions. Although still a ways off from happening in any case, this suggests that EU-Russian relations might finally be on the verge of climbing out of their post-Maidan nadir and beginning a new trajectory. Should the positive scenario that Mr. Gabriel outlined come to pass, then it could potentially give the EU the pretext that it needs to counteract American pressure in finally lifting the anti-Russian sanctions. Though, provided, of course, that it can convince the stridently Russophobic country of Poland to do so as well. A workaround might soon be developed, however, whereby Poland's EU voting rights could be suspended because of its refusal to accept migration relocation quotas, which could, in theory, allow the bloc to vote in repealing the sanctions without Warsaw vetoing it, though this remains only the realm of speculation for now. Another obstacle that could predictably come up would be with Ukraine itself, which, while supporting the move in principle, earlier signaled that it doesn't want parties to the conflict involved in the prospective peacekeeping mission, hinting that it believes that Russia is an aggressor country and therefore invalidated from taking part. This rhetoric runs up against reality, because Russia is part of the Normandy 4 and Minsk peace processes, so it's uncertain how effective Kiev's position will be in stopping Moscow's potential involvement. So folks, as we know, this is a long-running topic that we've been covering here on Radio Sputnik, and I'm very pleased to announce that we are joined by a man that's on the ground right now. That's Mr. Zach Novak. He's an American originally from New York who became a Serb veteran of the Bosnian War and is now a war correspondent in Donetsk Republic with a DPR passport. Zach, welcome to Trendstorm. I'm very happy to host you today. What is it about the battlefield situation and the larger international one that prompted Russia to propose a peacekeeping solution at this moment in time?
Andy, it's winning the war, of course, but also to save lives from the sick, indiscriminate bombing of civilian areas. Look, Andy, the master chess player, the brilliant world leader, the great President Vladimir Putin, has embarrassed the Obama regime, and now he's embarrassed the Trump regime. Vladimir Putin, such a great man, tried to bring peace in the Middle East, tries to bring peace throughout the world. And the things that he does, it is an embarrassment, especially to the West, because he shows so much of humanity, of what he wants to do to bring peace, to stop the murder, to stop the killing. The photos that we see of the children getting killed and mutilated. And for him, once again, you know, the things that the deals he was striking for Syria to bring peace, the convoys, helping people at the same time, and with his great military personnel of saving lives, it was just brilliant to destroy terrorism, which was backed, we all know, by the CIA and their crazy secret agenda. And he's done it again. He wants the madness stopped in Donbas. And it's just another brilliant move, and an embarrassment to the UN, to the EU, to NATO, and now to the Trump regime, because he's showing goodwill, bring peace. You're not going to win, Trump. NATO, you're not going to win. These people do not want to live with Kiev, the Nazi regime. They want to live in peace. So let's go get the peacekeepers.
Right. You know, but as they say, I mean, the devil's in the details. And in this case, Ukraine is against Russia's participation in any such peacekeeping plan, though it did say that it's in favor of the peacekeeping initiative in principle. So, Zach, what comes next? How can the two sides find a way to surmount this new impasse? And how much of a factor will U.S. and EU influence be in convincing Kiev one way or the other?
Well, first of all, there was first news that was coming out, actually, they were against it. In order to save face, embarrassed, and then they said, you know what, okay, let's bring in the peacekeepers. And now they're, of course, a little bit nervous. Who's going to be in there? They have no say. Okay, they have no say. Look at Transnistria, Russian peacekeepers making peace there. You have Ossetia, the guard corps. The Russians everywhere where they are bringing peace, and it's beautiful. The West hates it. America hates it. They don't want peacekeepers. They will not allow peacekeepers. So if it's not going to be Russian troops, it could be Chinese, it could be Belarusian. No matter what, Kiev, you have no say. Putin is a great man. He's bringing in peacekeepers. Take it or leave it. It's got to be the troops that are chosen. And don't forget, the republics also. Putin said the republics have to decide as well. And this is also a beautiful thing as well. So Kiev has no say whatsoever. Will the EU try to push? Well, right now they're embarrassed. Will the U.S. try to push? Maybe, you know, how would you call it, in the media, but underneath all of that, they don't want any peacekeepers. They want their sick wars, trying to conquer it all, and it's just a disgusting picture. So I doubt there's going to be a real push for peacekeepers to come in, but Putin did embarrass the West, NATO, EU, and the United States.
Okay, you know, I noticed that you said that the U.S. and the EU probably will not allow peacekeepers. So in that case, Zach, how do you see this mission going ahead? Because, I mean, we can probably expect that if Russia were to go forward on its own with peacekeepers, that Ukraine would obviously once again, you know, harp about a so-called Russian invasion. I mean, how do you see this kind of playing out then? Because it sounds like we're at a crossroads here where Russia would want the peacekeepers, but the U.S. and EU might be trying to play some political games in this case. So how do you see things playing out in the future?
You said it brilliantly. It is a political game. It runs really deep. And as you see now, look at this. They just brought in another piece in the whole picture, the Saakashvili thing. And now you're going to see a civil war within Ukraine. Guaranteed, I promise you that, there will be a civil war. So sitting back, waiting for the peacekeepers, that's going to be a little bit time. Maybe it will never happen. What I've been telling many folks here is the disintegration of Ukraine. This is a start with Saakashvili going in and him at the border, which breaking through the border. And if you see who was waiting for him, you had Azov there, you had Donbas Battalion there, you had Right Sector there. So these are people that are supporting Saakashvili. And yesterday there was bombing between the Ukraine army and the Right Sector near the Donetsk water plant bombing each other. So it's going to be really, really vicious within Ukraine. There's also news that Hungary has soldiers ready to liberate some of their people, their territories within Ukraine. The Polish are not happy. They want also a piece of their territory too. So the peacekeepers, I don't see it coming. Again, this is Putin's great move to embarrass the West, to embarrass the NATO, EU, but I just see Ukraine falling apart.
Okay, Zach, thanks a lot for sharing your insightful forecast with us. You also gave us a very comprehensive view of what's happening there in Donbas and some of the factors that we have to keep an eye on. Thanks a lot for that.
Trendstorm.
Okay, folks, now we're going to speak to Mr. Gil Matosekwi. He's an American political commentator based in Zurich. Okay, Gil, the U.S. has pretty much been mum on the peacekeeping proposal since it was first suggested by President Putin earlier this month. So what do you think its eventual position will be, both in terms of implementing it in general and also Russia's participation in any forthcoming mission?
Well, it has to be said that this was a very clever announcement on the part of President Putin. Since this basically hits the ball back into the U.S. and the Western court. I mean, they have the option of directly opposing Russia's proposal for a U.N. peacekeeping mission, but this will make the U.S. look like an aggressive and warring party that's opposed to peace, so that's not realistic. However, it is bound to try to obstruct the move through back channels and through its client states, Poland and the Baltic countries. So given the strategic defeat the U.S. has and its Western allies have had in Syria, they're sure to oppose any initiative on the part of Russia which has the potential for settling the Ukrainian crisis and which enables the implementation of the Minsk Accords. This would deprive Washington of a really important part of its containment strategy vis-a-vis Russia, and it would enhance Putin's reputation as a peacemaker and thus augment Russia's prestige. So we have to mention that the foreign-engineered crises in Syria and Ukraine are really intertwined, as you said, and they both serve specific purposes, that is the encirclement of Russia, pushing to forward its internal destabilization. And they serve Western geopolitical, strategic, and economic goals. So any proposal that would realistically lead to a settlement of the crisis is a threat to the U.S. and to Western policy and their ambitions, and it has to be opposed by both means, both overt and most likely covert.
Okay, I see. Very interesting, Gil. Well, you know, if we can build off of what you just said, I mean, Washington is presumably aware of Berlin's suggestion that peacekeepers could lead to a ceasefire, which in turn could assist a political settlement that would eventually trigger the lifting of the EU's anti-Russian sanctions. So, Gil, with this in mind, would the U.S. even allow the EU to remove the sanctions, or would it take steps to interfere with this happening, such as what you suggested in your last answer?
Yeah, I would say that the U.S. Has to take steps to interfere with the lifting of the sanctions. And it's not that the sanctions have been terribly effective, as they never are. And arguably, I state this all the time, they have been a blessing in disguise for the Russian economy and the Russian state. The damage they've caused has hit Russia's EU trading partners far worse than Russia itself. But the sanctions have, above all, a strong symbolic significance. They create the perception and the meme in the eyes of the uninformed Western public that Russia is isolated, it is quarantined. And they also underline the fact that the EU and its countries are sticking to them contrary to their own interests. So it highlights their subservience to the subservience of the EU to Washington. Therefore, I don't think any political and deep state resources will be spared in order to dissuade the EU and Germany in particular from lifting or even relaxing the anti-Russian sanctions. Any trend towards normalization in Ukraine and the improvement of relations between the EU and Russia would threaten the continuation of tensions which serve as the pretext for the sanctions. The Sphinx must not be allowed to calm down in Donbass or in eastern Ukraine. The offer of lethal weapons to Kiev made last month by General Mattis clearly reflects Washington's preference that it's for increased, not decreased, tensions in Ukraine. If for no other reason than so that Western Europeans do not re-examine the rationale for the anti-Russian sanctions regime.
Yeah, I really like how you link InfoWars and perceptions to everything, as well as how you brought up all that weapons talk from last month, because it's very relevant to what we're talking about. Now, Gil, the last thing I want to talk to you about is something that you've also touched upon earlier, and it's that many analysts, such as yourself, have long talked about the strategic and diplomatic interlinking of the Ukrainian and Syrian conflict. So, with this in mind, in what ways do you think the imminent end of the anti-terrorist phase of the war on Syria and the progress being made on peace talks there can lead to the U.S. and Russia reaching a mutually acceptable and, let's hope, positive understanding for resolving the war on Donbass?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be any positive and acceptable understanding that leads to peaceful solutions. Not if Washington and the U.S. deep state have anything to do with it. This would require, first of all, a change in mindset and policy from one of confrontation and, at best, competition to one of cooperation. And we are many, many years away from such a goal. One can only imagine how annoyed Washington must be by Russia's patient and rational diplomacy, as it frustrates its apparent and predominant warmongering policy, the policymaking sector in the U.S. So you have to put yourself in their shoes as they read a statement such as the one issued by the Russian Foreign Ministry after the meeting that was held in Helsinki between the U.S. Undersecretary of State Thomas Shannon and Russia's Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov. And I'll read it. It says, "We called for a stop to the destruction of Russia-U.S. relations and undermining international law, which is fraught with grave consequences, and to start finding solutions to resolve problems that are mounting through no fault of ours." So what Russia must realize at this point, however, is that destroying relations and much worse is precisely their goal. It cannot expect the U.S. and its Western partners to solve problems which they themselves have created, and they've done so with intent and purpose. So it's difficult to predict what conflict reigniting countermeasures they may be contemplating in Syria. But the open incitement of the Kiev junta through the provision of lethal weapons has already been noted. We simply must remain alert and take absolutely nothing for granted. You know, it's a famous quote from Thomas Paine who said, and it's always worth repeating, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. So it was then and it is still so.
Okay, Gil, thanks a lot for that. I mean, some people might think that it's a pessimistic outlook, but I say it's a very realistic approach to the war on Donbas. So thank you very much for sharing that with us. It was very enlightening.
Trendstorm.
Now, folks, if we think back on what both Zach and Gil share with us today, we can see that what's happening in Donbas, it might be nearing a point where, you know, Putin's calling everyone's bluff. They say they want peace. Putin says, okay, cool, great. Let's send some peacekeepers. Now they're balking. So this is part of a psychological operation, in a sense, to enhance Russian soft power. But at the same time, this is real. Russia really does want peacekeepers. So let's see. What will the West do? What will Ukraine do? They talk about peace. But will they walk the walk? Let's see. Now, folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.